Everybody wants to say that they work for a dynamic, agile organization. But in reality, any mid-sized to large corporation or organization will have some aspects of their organizational structure rooted in some static concept. A financial controller is typically tied to the organizations that they financially manage. And when a customer organization introduces a restructuring, the support organization usually has to respond to that change, if not immediately, eventually. So while we want to be dynamic and agile, we are still tethered to the static. And when change is introduced, even though we like change, it causes chaos. This week, we're actually going to talk about supply chain and managing categories and how to handle dynamic changes in categories in a static organization. I'm Joey Lombardi, and this is Sourcecast, episode number 39. Before we get to our main story, we're going to discuss the acquisitions that occurred in the last 8 days. And surprise, there were no major acquisitions, but there are rumors. Before we get to that rumor, longtime listeners of the blog will appreciate that the EMC Dell deal is expected to be finished this week. As you're listening to this, the deal could be done. As much as I discussed the pros and cons, it was a monumental feat to complete, and congratulations to Dell for taking on such a Herculean task. Now regarding the rumor, if you read last week's blog post, you'll see that there's a very good chance that Hewlett-Packard Enterprise is selling off all of their software assets to Thoma Bravo. The software portfolio is estimated to be valued anywhere between $8 to $10 billion. There are other rumors stating that maybe the software catalog will be broken up, but for now, Thoma Bravo seems to be the frontrunner. These Hewlett-Packard divestitures are actually a great example for the main story. Let's say you work in procurement, and let's say you're assigned to buy software. So let's say your boss throws in HP as part of your portfolio 2 years ago. And that might not be the greatest fit because HP has hardware and HP has consulting and HP sort of has these hybrid cloud services. But most of your business is in software, so you take on the whole thing. But you're predominantly aligned to a software category. Then HP splits. It becomes Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. It becomes HP Inc. And in this particular case, that's great. Except even though the split says HP Inc. is printers and desktops, some software went over with it. So now you have to manage two companies. Except now you don't, because they decide to sell off that software piece. So now you're back to Hewlett-Packard Enterprise. Then they sell off their consulting piece. Or they will sell off their consulting piece. And again, if you're managing a category that's strictly software, this is great news. That complexity is now reduced and maybe goes off to one of your peers. But now all of a sudden, they sell off their software catalog. And this company that you've been managing for 2 years does not fit within your category anymore, because effectively they're a hardware company. So here's a company that is not static. They're very dynamic. They have changed a massive portion of the way they do business. And at the end of this period, they are no longer the same company. They really don't fit in the category that you had them assigned to. And this isn't bad. This isn't a bad thing. But if you're trying to get in front of this, if you're trying to manage that, you've introduced a lot of change to your department. Maybe the supplier has to move to a different category manager. But a lot of that subject matter expertise as far as the institution and dealing with the company and negotiating with them, you either have a situation where the person who is assigned to manage the company keeps that asset and learns a new skill set or a new negotiating tactic for a different category, which is great, or you have to move the supplier to a different category. Since we focus in the IT space, I'm noticing that IT companies are having a bit of an identity crisis. A company like Cisco, which is known for hardware, doesn't want to do hardware anymore. A company like HP, who is known for a variety of services, wants to go back to their roots and do strictly hardware. And the fact that one is running away from hardware and one is running to it is super confusing. And then you have a company like IBM, who is moving away from hardware for the most part. They do have the storage that they're focusing on and mainframe. And they're buying up all these healthcare companies. And that's another great example. You have someone who's dedicated to IT, and they're buying traditional IT things with an IBM, right? They're buying mainframes, they're buying storage, they're buying software, they're buying IT consulting. And then IBM goes along and buys marketing companies and health analytics companies. And they're playing in different categories with different groups. And your IT procurement guy may or may not be able to handle all of those changes. That's a completely different set of expectations and expertise and drivers that you have to become accustomed to in order to successfully purchase the things that the company is trying to sell now. So because of these dynamic scenarios, it's becoming ever more difficult to categorize IT suppliers. Even the Dell deal. Now you have Dell and EMC together. And while Dell did historically sell storage, it wasn't their primary focus. And now you have a company that Strictly did storage with EMC for the most part, without some of their subsidiaries. But this combined company, it's enterprise focused. And if you want a holistic view of management, if you want one or two people managing the whole spend so they're not getting around you and doing the divide and conquer technique, there's a whole bunch of additional categories that someone has to take on in order to manage that supplier. And that happens in a relatively rapid period. Personally, from a procurement perspective, from an individual's perspective, it's good. You're learning more, you're expanding your horizons. But if you're an organization that is organized around categories, this can be a nightmare scenario. And even the categories are changing. If you traditionally had a storage category, how does cloud fit into the storage? Cloud is a competitor of storage, but it's a totally different technology. It's a totally different contract set that you would have to focus on, but it is a competitor. So does that fit into a category when you're doing an evaluation or an RFP? Do you factor in cloud storage into a traditional storage array scenario, or do you treat those things as two separate activities or categories? I don't think that you can. The same goes for artificial intelligence. Do you treat artificial intelligence as its own category, or do you view that as a software as a service solution? For the time being, most companies seem to be selling AI as a software as a service solution, but as these AI solutions become more complex and focus on different areas and are brought in-house to, let's say, evaluate your data center, like Google just did with their own data center to do power management, that answer becomes more complex. So here's a spoiler. I just laid out this problem, let's just say, or the scenario, but I don't have a solution for it, because that's really dependent upon your organization. There's so many different ways that you can slice the situation up. You can go supplier focused. You can go from a category view. It really depends on what the appetite of your organization is. The important activity here is to have a discussion about it. Bring up all of the permutations. Bring up all of the complexities on how these suppliers and these categories and your customers, how all of these things mix and tie together. If you don't map it out and you don't see that full picture, you're not going to come up with the best solution for your organization. But it's critical to communicate, to document, and to make educated decisions. And now I'm going to switch over to some news that you can use. I recently read an article from Entrepreneur.com with the headline, "A Eulogy for Meetings." If you are a frequent listener to this podcast, you know that I'm not generally a fan of meetings, but I say that with a caveat. While I'm not a fan of the traditional corporate meeting, which is let's just slam some time on a calendar and discuss the meeting that we're going to have later with another group of people, probably not the best use of someone's time, or certainly not the best use of my time, in my opinion. But to say, oh, there's a eulogy for meetings, and I feel somewhat guilty now for contributing to the backlash of meetings. Meetings are important. Having conversations with other coworkers and trying to come up with the best possible idea to present to other coworkers is important. Communication is extremely important. And meetings are a part of that communication portfolio. Bloated meetings with 50 or 60 people, with a handful of people talking on a canned topic, that's not my cup of tea. But small, dynamic sessions, frequent check-ins, bouncing ideas off of your coworkers in a somewhat organized fashion, yeah, that's important, and those should be encouraged. But nobody needs to wrestle a 500-pound gorilla with 50 people in the room 5 times a day. So shame on Entrepreneur.com with your backlash of meetings, when we should really focus on efficient gatherings of coworkers. Meetings are good when they're managed well. And that's all we have for this week. As a reminder, you can find Sourcecast on iTunes, Google Music, and all of your favorite podcasting applications. Sourcecast is recorded in bucolic Mantua, New Jersey, and is produced and recorded by me. Music is provided by Google. Thanks for listening, and we'll be back next week.